Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 26th of July, recording at 9:36 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets, the indefatigable Indonesia pushed through to another new high in a generally steady ASEAN sector. Singapore was also higher, although not yet in new all-time highs. China a little bit firmer. India fell sharply on the 50 basis point rate hike to 8%, where only a 25 basis point rate hike had been anticipated. In Europe, we had mixed action overall, very small percentage changes. In Europe, interestingly, the rally that we saw yesterday and beginning on Friday for the Spanish and Italian bonds, that stalled or really paused. Yields were down just a tiny bit for both of those two countries. And in the Americas, softer across the boards. I see that Canada and Brazil had the bigger declines, down 1% each. The S&P ended down 5.5%. That's 0.41%. NASDAQ, a smaller, a tenth of 1% on the decline. Long-dated government bond prices. The U.S. prices had been weaker early in the day, but it closed higher. Gilts, on the other hand, gilt futures prices closed lower. Eurobonds up just a fraction. U.S. dollar, very weak once again. 73.52 on the U.S. dollar index. The Australian dollar up to 109.51. Yen's also fairly firm in here. The greenback's down to 77.92 against the yen. The euro pushed up to 145, and sterling's up to 164 against the US dollar. In precious metals, we had a little bit of softness earlier on in the day. But then closed towards the higher side. I mean, spot gold bullion is at nearly at 1620. It's at 1619.70. Silver, which had traded down to $40, is currently at 40.92. That's up 56 cents. Platinum scored a late rally, up 14.6 at 1808.60. But the big move on the day was for palladium, up almost $28 to 836.90. And crude oil, a fraction lower for WTI, and Brent was a fraction higher, so not much going on there, although steady. Overall, not much going on there today. Natural gas was a tiny bit lower. Lumber was a tiny bit lower. Most commodities were firmer, and the industrial metals were really quite steady. And copper is up to 447.75 in the States. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, the encouraging signs are those ASEAN gains to the upside in Asia, and then the U.S. stock market indices are still up quite close to the higher side of the ranges that have persisted since February, and they are reasonably above the March and June lows that I've often mentioned as being really quite important. Now, accommodative monetary policy caused by negative real interest rates, in other words, below the rate of inflation, remains a tailwind, although that tailwind has slacked off in countries such as India and also in China, in the growth economies where interest rates have been pushed higher. But generally, most countries around the world, Japan excluded, but have negative real interest rates. And as I say, that creates a tailwind. Generally, I've described this as an event-driven phase in the market cycle with a focus on two events, the European sovereign debt crisis. Cleared a hurdle on Thursday, and now everybody's pondering how long this will last before we see further pressure on yields. It was a reasonably good package that they put together, but as everybody knows, the debts are so big that it's not sufficient. And will it buy enough time for Europe's chronic problem of slow growth to help GDP to grow and countries to pay down some of that debt? Well, not likely in the troubled so-called periphery countries. That will be extremely difficult because they have austerity programs which make growth just that much harder at a time when GDP growth is slowed down. Moving across to the United States, there are also signs that some of the major industries are cutting back further on labor costs, and that unemployment is likely to push a little higher overall at a time when GDP growth is really quite weak. So that's a concern. And then, of course, the U.S. has its own event, which is the debt ceiling overall. I think the more important issue is a possible rating downgrade on U.S. debt. And as I said yesterday, it would have happened a long time ago were it not for the political aspects of that. Or for the reason that it would just be a very big political development. But Chinese rating agency, whether you take it seriously or not, downgraded U.S. debt a while back. And so did that service that I commented on and posted a clip for last week. Was it Richard Egan? I'm not sure about the first name. But it was very interesting. Very interesting video on the U.S. Recorded on the U.S. Squawk Box program. Now, so what's going to happen here? The March and June lows for Wall Street are still very important. I'll focus on Wall Street here right now, because while the ASEAN market strength is encouraging, they're not going to lead to the downside. They'll lead to the upside. But if these problems that we have are going to weigh markets down, and I should mention the biggest problem of all, in my opinion, is the strength of the commodity prices. Again, it's something that we've long forecast. Supply and elasticity meets rising demand. But if we get another run to the upside in crude oil, there's little doubt in my mind that that would weigh on equities and push stock markets lower. Psychologically, the U.S. is the key one because of its size, and therefore deterioration in the U.S. stock market would create a negative leash effect for other stock markets. That hasn't happened yet, and the U.S. has been neutral to positive in recent weeks. But it may well be tested up here, given the strength of commodities and given the uncertainty over the U.S. debt ceiling outcome. Precious metals, they're in form. They certainly are in form. We had a new high on gold in U.S. dollars yesterday, and gold has been hitting new highs against all but the strongest currencies, such as the Swiss franc and the Singapore dollar. but very firm overall. So is silver, having had the big blowout following its high back in April, came back to quite a reasonable valuation and has resumed its function as high beta gold. And technically looks very, very steady, but today, it was really early this evening, we suddenly had palladium and platinum push out of the starting gates. And palladium has the better pattern overall. Now, investors are of two minds as to whether to consider palladium and platinum precious metals or industrial metals. Well, let me resolve that one. They are precious metals, but and the platinum is a good deal more precious than the palladium, more important. But they both have big industrial uses in the catalytic converters, and really to see a major run in here, I think we either have to have a big increase in speculative activity, or a belief that the Chinese automobile industry, in particular, is going to strengthen later this year. I'm not so sure about that, but I see the potential for a run to the upside as we approach a favorable seasonal period for precious metals. And of course, those seasonal factors, there's the traditional buying that we tend to get from really September onwards. Jewelers in the West tend to build some inventory. And then you get the Indian wedding season, the Chinese New Year demand. And then, as important as any of those, you get the fact that anybody who's really interested in gold knows that. And so they also become more aggressive in terms of their own buying from September onwards. So all that looks likely to help push these prices up to new high ground. And we would need to see closes beneath the lows that we saw earlier this month and last month to seriously question that hypothesis. So I think that's a very interesting and important area for both investors and traders, and I think an overweight is warranted there. I've been building up my positions and will continue to build them up. I'll build them up in the futures markets as I as I usually do. It's a little more challenging in terms of the timing, but I do like to use the leverage and the tax advantages of spread betting. Now, industrial metals are also really quite firm. The laggard in here is nickel, but the others look very, very steady overall, and we can certainly see those moving higher. Now, the stock markets will tolerate a certain amount of industrial commodity strength, provided it's not crude oil. From here on, to have crude oil, to have Brent in particular, that's the important one, to have that push above the $120 level and let alone spike above its earlier highs, which I think were up around the 127 area, that would, as I say, that would weigh heavily on stock markets and also on GDP growth. If I were a betting man, I'd say it's more likely to happen than not, because the patterns indicate an overall buildup of support. Now, fundamentally, is there the demand there to cause that to happen? I'm not so sure about that, because we do have the slower GDP growth generally, and higher prices tend to curb demand somewhat. But we still have the Libyan production down, and that's going to be down for quite a while longer. I would say at least a year. And therefore, the supply-demand balance is relatively tight, and I think we're getting more speculative interest in those markets. I think that's a factor behind the firmness that we're actually seeing. So this is a tricky old period here, overall for equities. Don't be surprised if we see further ranging activity overall. We may have a nervous few months ahead. Certainly we will if the commodity prices push sharply higher. Should mention grains and beans are firm in here as well, particularly rough rice, which had been a laggard earlier in the year. And that's very important given the amount of rice that's consumed in Asia. So overall, again, I think this is a tricky period here, and we're still getting countries like India pushing interest rates up because of their inflation pressures. And they will continue to do so as long as inflation remains a stubborn problem. And a lot of it is food inflation and energy price inflation. It's all about commodities here in terms of the inflation pressures, with the exception of wage increases in the growth economies of the world. We've also got the wage pressures in South Africa because of the very, very strong unions there. And there's a risk of a strike among gold miners, and plenty of strikes going on in South Africa, including coal right now, coal workers. And it looks like we're going to go in that direction for gold miners and platinum miners. That may well add to upside pressure on the prices of those metals. So there's a lot going on. We're not without money-making opportunities, but I think we have to be prepared for a bit more rock and roll in terms of volatility here in these stock markets. Many of my positions are leveraged to commodities, and the others are leveraged to the stronger growth economies in the world. I should say geared to them, because my long-term investments are unleveraged positions. But I think you probably understand exactly what I meant. I'm not inclined to chuck any of those positions in. They are long-term holdings. I would only want to do that if I felt they looked seriously wrong. And I've even had the uraniums rally last week and last Friday, some sharp gains and some follow-through this week. So I'm not inclined to sell any of those long positions, but I do have cash, and if stock markets surprise to the downside, then I will be nibbling once again. So, best bet. Don't be surprised if we get another run in precious metals tomorrow. On that note, all the best.